Good morning, everybody. As Bob quite rightly pointed out, we're starting a very brief series called When Love Came Down, and this is the first one. Christmas will be here soon. Shopping, trees, lights, decorations, carols, snow, maybe. Turkey, perhaps, if that's what your favourite Christmas dinner is. Could be something different. Mince pies and mulled wine, no doubt. A time for family. And, of course, presents. Can you see what we've done? In the middle of that somewhere is the real reason for Christmas. Jesus. If I go back one, it's covered it all up, hasn't it? It's about Jesus, the real reason for Christmas, the time to celebrate the coming of the infant Jesus, the Son of God. But why did he come? Why did he leave the splendor of heaven to come down to earth? Now, when Jesus entered Jericho and met Zacchaeus, the tax collector, told about in Luke 19, verse 10, we hear in his own words why he came. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Here in a nutshell is the one great purpose of Jesus coming down to earth, and it's echoed throughout the New Testament in many different ways and with different words, but all with the same meaning and thought. So why did he come? He came to save us sinners. Now, Jesus' meeting with Zacchaeus was not the only time he told why he came down to earth. And here's a brief look at a couple of other occasions. In John 12, verses 46, 47, I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And also in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I think we're pretty well familiar with this. But apart from coming down to earth to pay the price for our sins, Jesus came down to teach us and to show us many other things, among them the two greatest of all commandments, that showing us that ultimately it's love that matters most. Now, the Pharisees classified over 600 of their laws, distinguishing the more important laws from the lesser. One Pharisee, an expert in the law, tested Jesus, asking him to identify the one which was the most important, and Matthew tells us what happened. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, Jesus quoted directly from the Old Testament, something that the Pharisees would have known only too well. Firstly, from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, excuse me, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And secondly, from Leviticus 19, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. In his reply, Jesus pointed out that by fulfilling these two commands, a person keeps all the others. These two commands actually summarize the Ten Commandments and also some of the other Old Testament moral laws. So Jesus showed that if we truly love God and our neighbor, we will naturally keep the other commandments. Jesus was looking at God's law in a positive way, focusing on what we can do to show our love for God and others, rather than concentrating on what we should not do. So, what is love? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, when staying with us here in Rugeley, my 9-year-old granddaughter Tiana has the most unconditional way of announcing her awakening every morning as she shouts out, "Good morning, Grandad," before she goes down to get some breakfast. Now, normally at that time, I'm not particularly keen on loud noises or yelling. However, her sweet voice is music to my ears. It sends my heart soaring. Whenever we meet, she runs up to me, arms wide open, big smile on her face, and gives me the tightest of hugs. Sometimes they linger. I can and do, at the moment, still pick her up. We talk, often close, cheek to cheek. She rests her head on my shoulder and she continues to speak in me with that wonderful voice of hers. I find that whatever I may have been having that's been bugging me or causing me worry or concern or giving me reasons for brain ache, this granddaughter of mine is pure love, and it's oh so easy to love her back. We may find it also easy to love our close family and our friends and our church family too. An incredibly supportive network of friends and family to meet and spend pleasurable time with. I'm afraid these are only the photographs you've seen I've got of church family, but nevertheless, I would include you all in this. Sometimes over a cup of coffee, a chat, maybe a biscuit or two, or more. Or, Peter and Kevin's here, and Dave, over breakfast, going out for a walk. Hopefully there might be a Boxing Day walk this year. Or even a visit here and there, as you can see. There's some visits included there with Dave, Peter and Kevin. Back to love is then. Why do we love? We love because love comes from God himself. And because God loved us first. As a Christian, we know and rely on the love of God for us. So we love our family and our friends. What about animals then? Do you like animals? How many of you are actually animal lovers? I suspect most of you are. There may be one or two that don't, but that doesn't really matter. It's the illustrating the point. Cats, dogs, maybe some other less common animals. A cat lover, maybe. Meet our cat Smudge. He's so lovable, gentle natured, very loving too. And maybe you're more of a dog lover. If you're a dog lover, meet Tango on the left and Jack. These two dogs I walk for the Cinnamon Trust. I've only been walking them for a few weeks now, but I've come to grow to love them too. They're both very affectionate. They're great fun. Children and animals have an almost unconditional capacity to simply be just who they are. With no expectations, with a simple honesty and integrity, they can show love in the finest and simplest of forms. Now, it's often natural and easy for us to love, but not always, not in all cases. How about these animals or creatures that are not necessarily so easy to love? Some may be ugly, some may be nasty, some may be downright unpleasant. Imagine giving any of them a hug. What about people then that are not easy to love necessarily? In fact, many may be downright difficult or seemingly impossible to love. Drug addicts, drunks, alcoholics, those that are aggressive, abusive or violent, thugs. Some are extremely violent, rough people. Serious criminals, murderers. What about in times of war? What about the enemy? Now Jesus tells us to love everyone, even our enemies. In Luke 6, 27 to 35, he says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who for one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." In 1 John 4, verse 7, we are encouraged to practice loving each other. "Dear friends, let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God. And those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God and that they're getting to know him better." And in 1 Timothy 4, "Set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them." In some instances, even though it may not be easy, love is a choice that we make, a commitment. Choose to love the Lord your God and commit yourself to him. When love is not instinctive, then we must choose to love, especially those that we may find less easy to love instinctively. We're encouraged to let love be our greatest aim. And that all that we do, let all that you do be done in love. And that love is shown in our actions. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Giving love and doing good for everyone by our actions whenever we can. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Use every chance you have for doing good. Whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Never tell your neighbours to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So let's take a closer look at the two greatest commandments that Jesus highlighted that shows us that love matters most. In Matthew 22, 37 to 38, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Remember, Jesus gave the first commandment with a quote from Deuteronomy 6. He repeated it word for word to show the importance of it. Looking closer then, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The heart, traditionally meaning our feelings for loving, a heart full of emotions. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us about laying up treasures in heaven. And he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where our treasure is, there our heart will be. We need to make Jesus the treasure of our heart. What about our soul, our will, our moral judgment, the place where we make decisions. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." When dealing with our emotions, our desires, our passions, we need to make godly decisions. The Holy Spirit is our guide, especially through the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, as Bob mentioned earlier, we've just finished a whole series on this. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Note that love is the first of the 9 segments of the fruit of the Spirit. And what about our mind then? Our thoughts, our impressions, our intelligence, our learning, our reasoning, where we think. In Philippians 4, we find where we should direct our thoughts. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Our reasoning, our choices, the decisions that we make should be based upon God's plans, purposes, and his ways. So, heart, soul, and mind. We are one whole person. The heart, soul, and mind are essential parts that make up one whole person, and we need to love as a whole. Jesus then followed with the second commandment, with a quote from Leviticus 19, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Now Jesus then put these two commandments together and emphasized them both. He put this high importance on this relationship with all people. Love is our number one priority in life. So to be like Jesus, we must love one another without exception and in all circumstances. Love is the most important thing in life. Love matters most. We need to love God. We also need to love our neighbor. If we don't have love, we cannot truly live together. We're all different. God made each and every one of us unique. Even identical twins are not exactly alike in looks or in nature. Even as Christians, we will have our differences. We may disagree from time to time with a brother or a sister. In some instances, we may strongly disagree. But God has commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves. The real importance of love is highlighted in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Love is the primary objective of life that God has given for each and every one of us. If we don't live a life of love, nothing we speak or say will matter. Words without love are completely worthless. If we don't live a life of love, nothing we know will matter. It doesn't matter how brilliant, how intelligent, how much knowledge we may have. Without love, it equals zero, nothing. We are bankrupt without love. If we don't live a life of love, nothing that we give will matter, because giving in itself does not necessarily count or mean that it is loving. Without love, giving is worthless. Now, I've been a Beatles fan all of my life. I'm sure many of you We'll remember this one, one of their hits, Can't Buy Me Love. If you remember those lyrics, they're actually quite right. Money can't buy me love. As we've heard, it just doesn't matter how rich we may be. Without love, we have simply nothing. And they weren't so far wrong with the lyrics in the hit, All You Need Is Love, either. Yes, we all need love. However, to meet that need, love has to be given, and freely given, to all we meet and all we encounter, by each and every one of us, God's own children, always. In 1 John 4, verses 7 to 19, excuse me, we're encouraged to love one another, and I'll read this out in detail. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment in this world. We are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he loved us first. Remember that Jesus came down to save us, yes, but to show us that love matters most. Love is God's precious gift to each and every one of us, which we need to freely give to others. Remember also that we've had the greatest Christmas present ever, sent with love from our amazing Abba Father, the gift of Jesus Christ, who came down to earth with the message for us all that love matters most.